Greetings again, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, broadcasting live from the Parsonage in Arthur, Illinois, the House of Peace. And we have worked our way up through the book of Daniel to episode 11. Episode 11, where we finish out the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we begin the story of Daniel's vision of four beasts. That begins chapter 7. So chapter 7 of the book of Daniel is a real turning point from the stories we've been hearing through the first six chapters, and now we get seriously into symbolism for the rest of the book. So put your interpretation hat on for this, and we'll see where God leads us. Speaking of where God leads us, we are ready to be led. We've got the chant of the mystics. We've got the double candles going, the beach. What is that? The black sand beach and the cinnamon cider. And we've got, just for today, a nice warm milky cup of the green tea. Green tea, you just can't get enough of it. As my doctor says, a minimum of 7 cups of green tea a day. A minimum of 7 green teas a day. And yes, you are allowed to double bag. All right, that gets us where we need to begin reading the rest of the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Remember, at the end, the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. And not a scratch was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had accused Daniel. Remember that? And he had them thrown into the lion's den. Not just them, along with their wives and children. And the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor. Oh, what a great way to start the day. And then we pick up where we left off, with verse 25 of chapter 6. We'll go all the way to the end of chapter 6, finish the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and pick up at chapter 7 and hear Daniel's vision of four beasts. So let us begin. So after the men who had accused Daniel and their wives and their children were torn apart, verse 25, episode 11, then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So, Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And now, the next story in episode 11, Daniel's vision of four beasts. We are reading chapter 7 now, verses 1 through 14. Daniel's vision of four beasts. Earlier, during the first year of King Belshazzar's reign in Babylon, Daniel had a dream and saw visions as he lay in his bed. He wrote the dream down. And this is what he saw. In my vision that night, I, Daniel, saw a great storm churning the surface of a great sea, with strong winds blowing from every direction. Then, four huge beasts came up out of the water, each different from the others. The first beast was like a lion with eagle's wings. As I watched, its wings were pulled off, and it was left standing with its two hind feet on the ground, like a human being. And a human mind was given to it. Then I saw a second beast, and it looked like a bear. It was rearing up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And I heard a voice saying to it, "Get up, devour many people." Then the third of these strange beasts appeared, and it looked like a leopard. It had four wings like birds' wings on its back, and it had four heads. Great authority was given to this beast. Then, in my vision that night, I saw a fourth beast, terrifying, dreadful, and very strong. It devoured and crushed its victims with huge iron teeth and trampled what was left beneath its feet. It was different from any of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. As I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. Three of the first horns were wrenched out, roots and all, to make room for it. This little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. I watched as thrones were put in place and the Ancient One sat down to judge. His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like whitest wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire flowed from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him, and 100 million stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened. I continued to watch because I could hear the little horn's boastful speech. I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire. As for the other three beasts, their authority was taken from them, but they were allowed to live for a while longer. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone who looked like a man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and royal power over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Amen. Well, there's some great symbolism. Amen. And that ends episode 11. Of our dynamic duo daily series. We're in the book of Daniel, and we're in the middle of chapter 7, and that's where we'll pick up with episode 12 tomorrow, as the vision is explained. And now for our closing devotion today. I'm going back to one of our Advent devotionals. It's called Low, An Honest Advent Devotional by John Pavlovitz. And this particular devotion caught my heart and spoke to me, so I share it with you. It's called Underdog Revolution. Underdog Revolution. Can I get an amen, church? First, a scripture, and then the reading. A scripture is from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. Paul says this, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." The reading. Unqualified, ill-equipped, unsuccessful, failure, fraud, disappointment. Many of those words play on repeat in our heads. Maybe they were spoken into us at a young age by someone we admired and trusted. Or perhaps they were labels we attached to ourselves as we made mistakes and experienced rejection. Since we are living our lives from the inside, we are all keenly aware of our own flaws and weaknesses, and that tends to be the way we define ourselves, by what we aren't capable of or haven't managed to achieve. We usually aren't only our greatest critics, but also our loudest accusers. One of the recurring themes in the birth, life, and ministry of Jesus is that the underdogs will save the world. Over and over, the story is that of the unexpected heroes showing up. An anonymous child from Galilee, a dozen teenage misfits, a grassroots movement of tax collectors and prostitutes, a good Samaritan, a faithful Roman soldier, a small faith community whose leader was murdered as a criminal. The revolution comes from the low places and the dark horses. We can enter this season well by turning off the voice in our heads that tells us what we're not. The voice that convicts us as undeserving of love or incapable of goodness. Yes, you are prone to mistakes and vulnerable to weakness and apt to fail. You're also perfectly prepared and positioned to be a brilliant light in a dark place. Amen. Love that devotion. That's what church is, you know, the church of the underdogs. We're going to change the world and save it from itself. That's a good church mission statement. Just a group of underdogs who are willing to be changed by God and then help God change the world. You like that? I think somebody should write that down. That might be a banner. All right, Pastor Bob. Let's wrap it up. I hope you have a blessed Friday. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful, crisp, clear fall day with just enough coolness to remind you that God's in charge and God's got this. So until tomorrow with episode 12, I pray you have a blessed day and that you count the miracles today that are all around you. Amen.